We have said that this hour we want to dwell on the claims that Jesus made for himself. And I have tried to consult Betty, who taught school for second grade for 40 years, about what I'm saying, and she said, claims they will not understand. And so if I don't get all of the second grade words that I should, it's because I haven't listened to Betty in my preparation. Claims means what he says about himself. You hear claims all of the time. If you wear this kind of perfume, we claim that you will attract girls. And if you don't use it, maybe you'd rather, I was going to say repel. A second grader doesn't understand repel. You make boys go the opposite way. And we want to look at the fact that this person, Jesus, said certain things about himself. And the things that he said are unlike any other religion in the whole world. And the reason that is important is the way we respond determines whether or not we go to heaven. If we don't listen, if we neglect them, if we don't hear them. And by the way, in your home or in this church is the only place you're probably going to hear them. You probably will not hear them taught at school. As we said this week at the barber shop, I met a young man who was at least 16, high school student, who did not know what Good Friday was. That it is the death of Jesus Christ. Pitiful ignorance exists in our country concerning God. And I hope I'll use the right words that will get that across to you, of what Jesus said he was. I know I fail lots of times. Audrey asked, was it you, Teresa? When is Grandpa going to hypnotize me? The word is baptize. But she at least knew I was going to do something to her. Here are some of the claims of Jesus. Matthew 16. Now, once again, we are beginning with the things that Jesus said about himself. And we have to face the fact that they were true or they were false. Now, I think you understand that. Listen to me on this. My suit is green. True or false? You know good and well that you look and you say, or you claim that your suit is green. No, it's not. It's blue, or something like blue. And we decide those things all of the time. Well, at my grandkid's house, may you have a treat? The answer is yes or no. It depends on how many you've had today. And therefore, we go to all kinds of things and we hear someone say something and we say, I believe it. That's true. Or that is false. Now let's take what Jesus said before he died and give it the true or false test. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. This is before the cross. And from that time, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed. He taught that. I am going to be killed. The threat was not yet there. But Jesus is looking down into the future and he sees the cross. And he says, I'll tell you something about that cross. It's going to be in Jerusalem. And I'm going to suffer lots of things. Scourgings, being spit upon, and so forth. And the end will be, I will die. But look what follows. Take the last 6 or 7 words of verse 21. And be raised up on the third day. What is he saying? I'm going to die. And part of that death, how do we know a person's dead? How do we know a person is really dead? Okay, when they're not breathing, that's a good sign, isn't it? That something is not functioning right. And that's from a child's perspective. That would be pretty much from mine. Let's move to a medical perspective. Dan, when is a person dead? Would you relate it more to brain function? Gee, nobody knows when we die, do we? But people do die, don't they? Now, one thing is for sure. I used to have this fear that my parents would think I was dead and they would bury me. But now, in reality, when you see a casket, can you be assured that person is dead? How Christ died for our sins, 1 Corinthians, and was buried. We know he died because they put him in a grave. They sealed the grave. He was there 3 days. We know he was dead, by the way. We'll get it later. Some people don't believe Jesus really died. Did you know that? Have you ever heard of the religion called Islam? They do not believe Jesus died. They believe that somehow there was a substitute slipped in there that was dead, and they said, that's Jesus. Long about the beginning of this last century, when liberalism was so very strong, this was common teaching. Jesus swooned. Anyone know what swooned means? It means he fainted. He passed out. And there was lots of teaching that Jesus swooned on the cross. And 3 days later, what happened? He came to. He came out of his coma. He came out of his fainting spell. And that's what we call the resurrection. And so we preach this morning that Jesus on the cross swooned, passed out from the suffering, and 3 days later he got over it all and came forth, and that's all there is to the resurrection. Well, that's with people who don't want to face a fact. Jesus really came out of the grave. I mean, he came out up the grave. If you figure the way they buried him, they buried him in a cave and over the opening put a 2,000-pound stone. And after he swooned, he drank some orange juice and pushed that 2,000-pound thing out of the way. That's ordinary. Of course, there were 16 Roman soldiers fully armed. The pictures of the resurrection at the tomb are pitiful. They have a couple of Roman soldiers standing around wearing miniskirts. Hey, these guys were equipped. Do you know a Roman soldier, a custodian, was trained and equipped to defend 6 square feet against an army? And they could do it. So as Jesus walked out of the tomb, the soldiers were there to keep him there, and he just walked through 16 highly trained Roman soldiers, all ready to slay anyone that gets within 6 feet. Now that's after he swooned and got over it. Now all the evidence, you know what we need today? You're going to be surprised at this. In looking at the literature on the resurrection, I have a prayer. God give us intelligent men who dedicate their life to saying that the resurrection is a hoax. Because you know some of the best literature in the world about the historicity of the resurrection came from men who set out to disprove it. And they ended up saying this is reality. And I could name a half a dozen who have done just that. Many of them taken sabbaticals from prestigious schools in order to disprove and lay to rest once for all this nonsense of the resurrection. And I can also name all of them who came out saying, there's evidence, the most powerful evidence in the world exists for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I know it sounds strange, but I would invite some of you, if you'd like to, I'll be glad to give you some literature if you want. And why don't you just set out on a little project? Say, I don't like the claims of Jesus. He didn't rise from the dead, and I'm going to prove it. Oh, please do. Because I believe if you will honestly look at the evidence, you will come out a believer. Matthew 16:21 then, and let me say one thing. Jesus never, ever said, I'm going to die, without also saying, in 3 days, I will rise again. Look again at our passage and turn to Matthew 17. Jesus didn't say these things just when he was excited. He said them over and over. 17 and verse 9. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision that you've just seen to no one until the Son of Man, what's the rest? has risen from the dead. That's serious speech, isn't it? Would you take that serious? Or you take that as a joke? Tell no one till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Isn't that funny? Risen from the dead. Is that the way he put it? Serious talk. He has risen from the dead. His resurrection is to have a time marker, 3 days, and it's a matter of fact. Matthew chapter 17:22. 17:22. And while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, notice, he said to them, not joked with them, not teased them. Jesus said to them, quote, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. They will kill him. Did they really? Well, we can argue from several standpoints. To be sure, he was really dead. The Roman soldiers did something. They stuck a sword in him. That tends to kill people. When you insert a Roman execution sword in them, they're gone. The Romans put the sword in. The Jews prepared him for a burial. Now, he was still alive. Ho, ho, ho. He was still alive. They took that body and they wrapped it and wrapped it and wrapped it and wrapped it and wrapped it. And then came along and put in fragrant scents like myrrh between the wrappings. And then they wrapped him and wrapped him and wrapped him and wrapped him. You know, being wrapped like that, they only do with bodies that are dead. Jesus died. He really died. He didn't swoon. He wasn't replaced by someone else. He really died. Now, if you think I'm making up something that's not important, Paul says, do you want to hear the gospel all wrapped up in one package? How that Christ died, was buried, raised, and was saved. You see how those couplets fit? He died and he was raised. He died, how do you know? They buried him. He was raised. How do you know? I saw him. Do you want to check it out? Said the writer of John. There are more than 500 people that are still alive that can look you right in the eye and I say, I saw the living Christ. And you know, there's no evidence better than I saw. I was there. John writes of the Son of God, we have handled him. We have touched him. We have heard him. We have seen him. Jesus died. How do you know? They put him in a tomb. He was raised. How do you know? We saw him. That's all in 1 Corinthians 15. But look once again to Matthew 17, 22. We read half of it. And notice that in Matthew 17, 22 and 23, there are two parts to this verse. Now, you may be in early grade school, but in our language, we have what is called active voice and passive voice. You say, I don't understand. Do you understand this? I hit him. I was hit by him. Is there any difference? I hit him means you did it. That's called active voice. I hit him. I was hit is passive voice. And please note in this verse, you have the active voice have and the passive voice have. Verse 22, beginning with the red letters. The Son of Man is going to be delivered. Be delivered. Passive voice. They're going to do it to him. He will be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. Doesn't say he'll kill himself. They will do it. They will kill him. But what a wonderful change from passive voice to active. Means, I'll do it. He will be raised on the third day. He not only predicts his resurrection, but the time of it. I repeat, Jesus does not announce his death without also announcing his resurrection. Matthew 20. Matthew 20. Now let me turn on our graphic once again. And I'll put it in simple terms. Jesus says, I'm going to die in Jerusalem. 3 days later, I'll see you again. Because I'm going to leave an empty tomb. That's what he said. Do you believe it? Or you don't believe it? Was Jesus telling the truth? Or was he not? Matthew 20, verse 18. This is all in the serious tones. Jesus says, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death. And they will deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day, he will be raised up. Now, maybe I could make a little shift in the scene to make it understandable. I'm going to make a claim. And I'm going to try to make it as much like the claim of Jesus as I can. And when I make the claim, I'm going to ask you, do you believe it's true or do you believe it's false? Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock. I will travel to St. Joe. When I arrive at the edge of the city, the state patrol will stop me. They will say, we don't like the things that you've been saying. And they will put me in jail. And in jail, I will not be given any food for days. I will be slapped and hurt in jail. And finally, will be the last blow. Because I will be put in the corner and men will stand there with 45s. And they will unload them, 6 of them, in my head. And as a result, what will I do? Strike back? I will die. I will die. With my too vivid, my brains blown out. It's all right. You see it on TV all the time. Violence is there, isn't it? And you look at it, don't you? My brains will be blown out. But only for 3 days. In 3 days, I will come forth from the dead. I said that. Okay? I said that. Which one? It's false. It's a lie. And you know it's a lie. Now, Jesus did some things kind of like that. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer all of these things. The end will be death, but that will not be the end. The end will be in 3 days. I will see you again. And he does come forth. And how do we know he came forth? Well, a few little details. He talked to the disciples. Dead men don't talk. But he talked to them because he wasn't a dead man anymore. And they sat down for a meal. And they caught some fish. And they broiled the fish. And what did he do with the fish? He ate it. Have you ever seen a corpse eat? Corpses don't eat. But he ate with them. He talked with them. He walked with them. Why? Because this man is different than any other man that ever lived. This man was truly God. And when he made those claims, they were true. Look at John 10. And what I'm doing right now is taking words from the mouth of Jesus. And let's just see what he says about himself. 10:30. I and my Father are one. Did they understand that, what that meant? He's just playing. Did they understand those words? You bet they understood them. And they were Jews. And they said, that's blasphemy. So look at the next verse. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. That means stone him to death. Throw rocks at him until he died. Why'd they do that? Because he said this. I and my Father are one. I didn't say it. I didn't write it. This could be asserted before I was ever born. This is pre-1935 stuff. It's pre-1835 stuff. It's pre-1500 stuff. He said it in the first century. And it's not hearsay. Matthew saw it and recorded it. Mark saw it also, and he recorded it. Luke saw it, and he recorded it. John saw it, and he recorded it. Why do you think God is taking these events in the life of Christ and saying, I want to drill those in your head 4 times? Why did he do that? Because God wanted to make a point. This is history, and it is serious. John 5:17. He, Jesus, answered them, My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. In other words, God is doing things, and I'm doing the same thing. How did that hit them? For this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but was calling God his own Father. And please note, how did they understand that? Making himself equal with God. Jesus claimed to be God. Now we got to make a choice. If those words were true, then he is really God, and if he's God, he runs everything. And therefore, we may accept what he says or reject what it says. And I want to emphasize this morning that nobody in this world can do that for you. Only you can do it for yourself. And last hour, I said, please don't be offended when I point the finger. I don't mean it offensively. Bob Black, what do you think of the claims of Christ? Do you believe that you believe they're true? Then you believe he is truly the Lord of the universe? Bernie, what do you think? And I don't care who your grandma was, or who your mama was, or who your father was. You must do it for yourself. Greg, David, have you for yourself, independently of your mother and your old man, have you responded to the claims of Christ and said, yes, he claimed to be God, and I believe it, and therefore I believe what he did for me. His own words, the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to give his life as a ransom for many. And that means on that cross he took our sins. How do you respond? John 8:58. The Jews love to glory in their father Abraham. But Abraham died, didn't he? He's in a tomb. Abraham is not in Palestine today. Some people like to think of Buddha as their teacher. But I don't know whether you've read the papers yet or not, but Buddha is dead. So is Muhammad. So is Confucius. They're all dead. Now, if you're a Buddhist, you might not like that. But Jesus can stand on his feet and say, before Buddha ever was, not I was, but I am. And that would chill a Jew to the bone. Because Yahweh is I am. He is the only God. And yet, look at verse 58. Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, not I was, but I am. He claims to be the eternal God. John 5. Here's another angle. And let me give it to you first so as to make you angry, hopefully. You know the worship you give to God? If you give worship to God, you can give it to me. You say God knows all, so do I. You say God is omnipresent, so am I. And so in John 5:23, in order that all may honor the Son, Jesus speaking, even like they honor the Father, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who listens to this, or hears my word, and what's the word? And believes. Him who sent me has, at this very moment, eternal life, does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death unto life. Jesus passed from death to life for what reason? So we can be translated out of the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of his dear Son. And we do that by faith in Christ. John 14. And verse 9. Jesus had lived a long time, and some of his disciples, you know, they had never really faced the issue of who is Jesus. One of them was named Philip. Jesus said to him, Philip, have I been so long with you, and you have not come to know me, Philip? Those words ought to chill you, because Philip was close to the Lord, but he didn't know the Lord. He had gotten all of the pure doctrine and teaching of Jesus, but it never sunk in. He who has seen me, Philip, don't you get this? Has seen the Father. How in heaven's name, paraphrase, do you say, show me the Father? And we ought to say to ourselves, we have heard this morning over and over what Jesus said about Himself, who He was, about His death for us, and about His resurrection. And you may say, I got that. I wrote it in my notes. Do you really have it? Philip, do you really know me? I've taught you lots of good truth, but you haven't heard it. You know what it's like to hear things but not hear them. How many times have I heard Daddy say, I'm going this morning to the hairdresser and I won't be home till afternoon. I heard it. Understand it. I know where the hairdresser is. I know what she or he looks like. I know all that. Get over here to work and get something I want to say to her, and I pick up the phone and I dial her number. And no one's there. And I really say, I wonder if she's okay. Why isn't she there? Well, I heard what she said about the hairdresser. But did I really? I heard, but I didn't really hear. And that's Philip right here. He had heard it all and seen it all. But he didn't see it. He didn't hear it. Some of you can bear this kind of testimony. You were raised in a home where you heard the gospel, right? You heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. But one day, you heard it. You really heard it. And you said it's true. Jesus says, I am God. And He proved it. We could bring in His miracles that He did on earth that prove it. He said He was God. He said He was Savior. He said He died for our sins. And therefore, it's real simple, really simple. He that hath the Son hath life. Hath the Son means you really heard it. You really believed it. You really said, I know He is God. I know He is Savior. I believe He was raised from the dead. I believe He is alive today and He can save me. And I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. And you rest in it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You see, it's all relationship. I don't care how good you are. The best person in this whole world without Christ will bust hell wide open. You can't be good enough. Forget it. But I'm religious. Well, I feel sorry for you. Because you're probably pretty secure, aren't you? You think you're okay. Me be a Methodist. A Methodist without Christ goes to hell. Or a Baptist can even do that. Or you can even do it in a Bible church. You can do it under the sound of God's Word. And I close with this. Philip heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. But he never got it. Have you heard that expression often used today? You know, they just don't get it. Well, you know, lots of people with the gospel They hear it, they know it, but they just don't get it. And this morning, we're going to close in prayer. And if you put your faith and say, Lord, I believe it. You're Lord of the universe. I buy your claims. No one else ever made them. And back them up. I believe you. I trust you for my salvation. Shall we pray? Our Father, we pray that every one of us, no matter how long we may have been Christians, will ask ourselves once again, have we really faced the claims of Jesus? Have we bowed to the Savior of our souls, the only one we could ever have? Have we bowed the knee to the Lord of the universe and said, He is truly my Savior and my Lord? In Christ's name, amen.